Thanks for checking out this episode of the Bureau Briefing. Before we get to the show, there are a couple of companies we really want to thank. Our sponsors. 10,000 Feet. You know, if you haven't checked them out lately, you need to check them out. They make this simple but powerful software, and it just helps you make confident decisions about what's going on with your projects and your teams. Also, MailChimp. MailChimp has been an amazing supporter of the Bureau community since day one, and they are everywhere we go, and they just love digital agencies. And you need to realize they're not just an email tool, and they're not just a marketing automation tool. They're a second brain for your business. They can give you insights, and they can help you automate your e-com store. It's just amazing. So make sure and check out MailChimp as well. And now, let's get on to the show.
Welcome to the Bureau Briefing, a podcast by the Bureau of Digital, an organization devoted to giving digital professionals the support system they never had. Each episode, we're going to talk to a member of our community doing awesome, inspiring things. Now for your host, Carl Smith.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Bureau Briefing. Today on the show, we have got Mr. Craig Bryant, the founder and CEO of We Are Mammoth, as well as two products, Ken and Dun Dun. Welcome to the show, Craig.
What's going on, Carl? Thanks for having me.
I'm glad you're here. And what's going on is I am fascinated with the fact that you have a service shop that has successfully spun off not one, but two products. This feels like the thing everybody tries to do, but never can. So take everybody back just a little bit and talk about We Are Mammoth, like how you started, and also this concept of venture studio, what you call yourself.
Sure. We started in 2006 as engineers, me and my two now former business partners, which we can talk about in a little bit too. We were all engineers. We got some gigs, and that turned us into a successful business. A few years into that, we started building Dun Dun. It was mainly Kwei Chung's baby at the time. And we built it as an issue. We needed a bug tracker. We didn't want to spend whatever it was, $200 on what we were using anymore. We wanted something simple. So we built it for ourselves. And after we had kind of put it through the rigors of some larger projects that we were working on, we slapped a subscription, you know, payment subscription thing on it and marketing, small marketing site, and put it out in the wild by itself without any, honestly, intent of it becoming a business or occupying more more of our revenue or efforts than our consulting business at the time. And it grew a little bit, and we liked that. It creates, as you know, kind of passive income, if you will. And we didn't pour a lot of marketing into it or anything like that. We just kind of improved it, worked on the tool, added some features, improved the marketing website, improved the brand, all of that. And we liked that. You know, we saw it grow a little bit, and we wanted to do more of it. And right around that time, we decided to build another product, and that became Kin. And Kin was conceived of as a business. So we wanted to then be much more explicit about revenue, about a brand, about building something that, yes, we would use in dog food ourselves, but we had the intent of going out to market with this product. And that was in 2013. So we're coming up on, what's it going to be, 5 years of Kin being out in the wild. And I think Dun Dun at this point, Kwei would be the best one to remind me of the launch date. I want to say maybe like 2009, 2010 or so.
Okay. So you've got one product coming up on 10 years. Right. And you got this other one that's coming up on five. So first of all, Dun Dun, the name, I just love it. I mean, it's when I was working for somebody else, we had final and we had final final. Right. As you knew, if there was that little cursive F next to something, that it wasn't really final. And so this idea of done or Dun Dun, you guys, a Dun Dun, you know, that to me was just brilliant. So kudos on that. But you do it, you just put it out there. It's just kind of a happy accident. You put some marketing on it. It's kind of fun to have a product that doesn't have a client except for you, right?
Yeah, it's a different culture entirely. As an engineering team, you have to be in love. I always call it like you got to get married to the same code base because you're not moving from project to project to project. You know, different right. if you're working on advertising or whatever. No, you wake up in the morning and you go to work on the same code base. And then on the flip side, your client or customer acquisition plan is different, right? Because now it's a matter of earning $30 instead of going out and looking for a $200,000 website project or whatnot. So that takes some getting used to. And I think with Dundun kind of being more organic and just kind of warming us up to it, we were more ready to plan. We had a little bit more expertise and experience in all the things that would be needed to make a successful SaaS product subsequently. So when we went into Can, we knew that it wasn't just building something that we were going to use. Like we had to be more explicit about our marketing and sales plan and all of that. And in terms of like being successful, I'll just be candid because I always am. Like it's tough. It's not all of a sudden, at least with our products, and this is, we're not a unicorn or anything like that. They take work and they take patience. And it takes several years, at least in our experience, to get these things up to a point where they're making enough revenue to where we feel like we have the luxury of investing more. You know, it takes some time and patience. And that's one thing that is hard. It's like you're in it for a year and you go, should we pull the plug? We've been told to pull the plug on these things a couple of times by pretty experienced people. And we haven't. Instead, we go, you know what? This is kind of a long haul project. We're bootstrapped. We know it's tough, but you got to be patient and you got to make really good decisions about every investment that you're making. And I can't brag about having made the best decisions all the time for Can or Dundun, but that is truly what it takes. Like we're talking about how to invest $1,500 as opposed to, you know, outside investment, or in the case that our revenue would be in the millions and millions of dollars, so we have a little bit more wiggle room with our profits to play with.
So with Dundun, how many people work on that exclusively right now?
Well, that kind of segues us into where things are at right now. So Dundun is no longer under We Are Mammoth as a business. So last year, Mike and Quay, my two former business partners and I, we decided to go our separate ways. So in doing so, they took Dundun as a business, moved it out of house, and now they're running that 100%. That's their job. So now I'm left with We Are Mammoth and Kin as two businesses. So I think the answer is it's Quay and it's Mike. And I think they have some help on the graphic design, some marketing and stuff like that. So I'd say like two full-time and then two kind of part-time contract people to help them out with some of the things that they're not specialists at.
So, and by all means, tell me go to hell, but
go to hell.
I'm just curious. Well, you got to wait. Damn it, Craig. No, but with Mike and Clay, were they just ready? Were they just at a point where they thought if Dundun had the right amount of attention and love, it could get there?
Yeah, the Germans have a really good word called Jein, which is you blend ja, which is yes, and nein into one, and it's Jein. So yes and no.
Okay.
And that gets us into the Venture Studio story that you also wanted to cover off on. I'd say a year and a half or so ago with We Are Mammoth, we kind of saw the writing on the wall of what a technology consulting company of our size was going to become in the next few years. Like more and more, we saw commoditized engineering services being provided. We're only competing on cost. So we decided as a business to re-engineer what our purpose was, what our mission is, what we're out there to do, and to sail away from this ocean of consulting services and get more aligned with where our hearts really are aligned, which is building businesses, building digital products like Dundun and like Kin. We wanted to do more of that. And we wanted to take a business risk that would say, like, every year we want to put five or so businesses out into the market, put a, you know, be formulaic about it, see which ones work out inside of, you know, 365 days and decide at that point if we should be doubling down on our investment with any of those ideas. At about the time we were really digging into marketing it and communicating it with potential new clients, by the time we were communicating it internally and going through the process of researching, discovering new ideas that we wanted to bring to market, Quay and Mike and I were talking about where we thought our future was as business partners. And the more I pushed our company to change what it was we were doing from what we originally went into business together to do, the more we realized that they didn't really want to create more businesses. They were happy with what we had done. In fact, they wanted to downsize a little bit more. And that helped inform our decision ultimately to go our different ways. We just, we no longer shared a singular future. And they wanted to minimize their risk a little bit and focus on Dundun. So yeah, I think the answer is yes. They think that they're there's more potential in Dundun if they can focus solely on it. And that's what they're doing now.
Well, and this is interesting because this gets to the concept of stables and volatiles.
Mm-hmm.
And so in this instance, they were the stables who were like, this is good. This is where we need to focus. But you were still kind of that volatile who was going, let's keep changing, let's keep going. And both are needed, but both have different environments in which they can live, right? Which they can thrive. So it makes sense that at that point, the environments had to kind of split.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm still like that. And, you know, in working with Tracy Barrett and Tom, I've learned a little bit about that character trait in me. Like I always want to be discovering problems and I always want to be switching gears. I always want to be trying new stuff out. And that's great to a degree. It's a double-edged sword though, because a lot of that means that I'm non-committal with things. I'll be up and running in a month with something that nobody else had thought about. And 2 weeks later, I don't even remember it. You know, I sort of cut bait and I'm moving on, you know? I think they got tired of that, you know?
We're the same person. Oh my goodness. So often somebody, I'll be like, why are you doing that? You said to do that. And I went, I did. They'll be like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, well, I obviously was wrong. I don't know what that Carl was thinking. So the two of us should probably not go into business.
No,
together.
Let's not.
Let's keep it as it is right now. So with Kin is still under the Wham umbrella.
It is.
Okay. And how many people are focused full-time at Kin?
The answer right now is between 8 and 11. It's a little bit more of a Craig Bryant sort of an answer because we have a consulting business still. We still have the venture studio business. In deciding what, as a business owner, where I want to put my money down, though, is in Kin. And the reason for that is, I think it can be summed up by a remark that Lisa, our CEO at Kin, made to me when she decided to take the role of CEO last fall. She said, like, I just don't think Kin has had its day yet. And that to me was fairly profound. Like, we had built a brand, we've got customers, we've got revenue. We've done a lot with the product, but we haven't found that market fit yet. We haven't evolved it enough. We haven't given Kin the opportunity to really, I don't even know if it's grow or expand or whatever. It just has not had its best years yet. And so for me, I went, all right, I was going through this business partner split. I was going to be getting full ownership over both the Venture Studio and We Are Mammoth and Kin. And for me, I went like, all right, I think that the best bet for us and the place my passions are most aligned are going to be in the workplace still. Like, I think that workplaces, like all the companies that come to your events, beyond, like we're working with like breweries and plumbing companies, law offices, churches, like we run the gamut with Kin. We've been doing this for 5 years, us and our competitors, our Bamboos and Namely's, Sure Payroll, everybody and their mother who's in the HRIS industry right now. But we keep seeing the same research come out, which is saying like, we're not improving engagement. Like employees are still leaving. Global employee engagement set, it's not all-time lows. It creeps up a little bit. But we haven't really solved the problem yet. And I think that that's a problem. And that's what I think Kin is meant to be. And that's what we're moving toward. And it's a little bit different than saying like Kin right now is a place where you're parking your employee data and managing your PTO and all of that. So we're stacking it up a little bit. We're going like, all right, utility and workplace organization is super important. It really is. We've kind of gotten to that plateau there though. Like everybody's using an HRIS now. So now we really do need to double down and focus on employee engagement, making sure that everybody feels like they're on a mission at their workplace. And that's once Lisa and I sat down and discovered that vision and discovered that mission and that story, that narrative that we want to take out to all of our customers moving forward, then I was going, all right, this is what we want to do. So back to answer your question, a lot of our effort right now with our team of 8 to 11, we've got a couple of contractors working, is focused on Kin. We still have the consulting business to service and take care of, and it is profitable as well. But what we want is we want to improve the workplace. We want to improve health and wellness in the workplace, and we think Kin can do that.
So as you do this and you look at Kin and you look at the consulting business, these are two completely different mindsets. So how do you personally deal with being in a product mindset for part of the time and being in a service mindset for the other part of the time?
We talk about it all the time. That's how. I mean, even like, honestly, even today, Lisa and I were talking about how the dynamic is, what's the relationship in our workplace when we're expecting a team to switch hats between servicing a very large enterprise website that is for another company and then switching hats and coming back and dealing with Kin, like PTO projections and helping keep the product moving forward. It is very different. And I don't know that we've really solved it or cracked the nut. The things that I can tell you though are that hiring somebody, like I said before, to come in and mind a code base, the same code base from now for the next 5 years while you're still working at the company is a lot different than hiring somebody under the with the expectations that they're going to be switching gears and like doing something in marketing or doing something in 401k projections or something like that, where month to month to month, they're going to be getting a different sort of slice or different exposure to different businesses. So what we're talking about now is that there are opportunities within Kin to move around. Yes, as an engineer, you're going to be tending to the same code base, but you can work on the front lines in customer experience. You can be feature-driven, like working on data insights. Like one thing that Kin does not do well right now is put Kin's data to work, right? So all of our companies, all of our customers' data is not giving them enough insights into what the future of their business or workplace is going to look like. So do you want to work on that? Yeah. So you're an engineer and you want to work on different stuff. Well, here are the opportunities and how this is how it presents itself in context of a product.
So This is truly fascinating to me because when I was running my shop, we had a couple of products we tried to get off the ground. And I think we hit the spot that was almost the worst spot. We were moderately successful. So there's no way it could stand on its own. It was going to take cash, but a few people liked it that we had to upset, mm-hmm. right? When we told them we're not doing this anymore. For people who are running more of a consultancy, a service shop, what advice would you give them if they're thinking, I've got this idea, I know how to build it. What's going to happen once they build it? Like, what are the tips you would give them? Don't do it.
Well, you know, when you probably made the right decisions, meaning like you're a good business person, you look at your revenue, you go, I'm not that bought into it. It is not proving itself out. It's time to pull the plug. So be ready to do that, I think, is the first tip. Second tip is, as a founder of a consultancy, you got into business for a different reason, and now you're trying to get into a different business for a different reason, and you gotta kind of change your mindset a little bit, because it's not a pet project. If you bring a pet project into your consulting business, you're going to ruin everybody's day, you know, because in 6 weeks you're going to forget about it. Like we were just talking about, it takes perseverance and discipline, and as much in the same way that engineers will need to come in and kind of wear that different hat, you as a founder need to wear that different hat. You need to continue to be passionate about whatever problem it is that product is meant to solve or to help with.
So one of the things that you mentioned, you said it a couple of times, is being bootstrapped. Mm-hmm. Is there a time where you might consider investment, or you might consider even selling, Ken?
The answer over our 5 years of Kin to that question is yes, in both cases. In taking outside investment, the easiest way to say it for Kin is, I don't know what more money would do for our product and for our company. I don't know how to put it right to work. And that's the same advice that some investors who I have spoken with over the years have given me. It's like, you don't need money. You need more customers. Go find them.
That's great. That's great advice.
That's like, you know, and then I went and cried and drank coffee for a couple hours. But there's wisdom in it. I forget who he was, but it was a local investor here several years ago at this point saying, like, how many customers do you have? I said, okay, whatever it was, 100. He's like, great, go find 100 more. And after that, find 100 more and just keep doing that. You don't need money. So at least in the business that we're in and the growth rate that we've seen, like, investors just aren't that interested in throwing that much money at it. And I'm going like, all right, well, I don't need to be, I'd rather use all that time to focus on my business and just saying we're a bootstrap business and forget about it. Like, if there's ever, if I ever look at our, you know, year in hindsight of financials and go, oh my God, it's a hockey stick. Someone's going to be interested in this. And I don't know that for some reason, that's the only time where an investor would be interested. And at that point, I'm going, wait a second, the company's already making plenty of money. Like, let's just keep doing that. Right now, I'm in control of our destiny. You know, and that feels pretty good. And I don't have to spend half of my cycles talking to people who are not users of our product. And so for me, that's right now, it's good. In the future, will we need it? Maybe. You know, we have some pretty ambitious goals right now, and the team's running at full throttle. And is it going to be enough? I don't know. You know, it has been so far, though.
And that's kind of the fun of the game, right? Is being in control, getting to make those decisions, and seeing what happens.
Someone said, "I'd rather," you know, you should be more concerned with making money than spending it. And you know, when you're bootstrapping a company, you just don't have the luxury to sit around too long and think about how to spend other people's money.
Well, Craig, thank you so much for being on The Briefing today. I've personally learned quite a bit. I'm sure people listening that are thinking about spinning products up in a service environment have got a lot of new things to think about. So truly appreciate you giving us your time today.
Thank you for having me. And if anybody's got any questions, let me know.
And everybody listening, we'll be back next week. Thanks so much.